When it comes to discipleship, there are many obstacles. To overcome these obstacles, you also need discipline. It's not going to be given to you. God doesn't say, get saved, and next thing you know, man, just like this, you're living the Christian life. There are disciplines that you have to observe. And here's the key point, if you can walk away with this. Without discipline, there is no discipleship.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Discipleship, Overcoming Obstacles, by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our goal is creating an atmosphere of powerful worship, dynamic preaching, and genuine biblical community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message.
2 years ago, Nicole and I decided to take our health seriously, and we decided to work out. Felt like this is very important for our health, where we are. Talk about obstacles. It's not easy to just jump up and go to the gym and start lifting weights. We had many obstacles, starting with one, which is we love to eat. We both love to eat. And so we had to overcome that obstacle. We had to discipline ourselves in what we ate and how much we ate. Then there was the obstacle of our busy lives. Both of us work, and it's hard. By the time I'm getting home from visitation or counseling, it's like 7, 8 o'clock. All I want to do is sit in front of the TV and unwind. We had to discipline ourselves to go to bed on time, which means 9 o'clock, the kids are headed to bed, we're headed to bed. Now, we would lay in bed and read and talk or whatever, but we had to do that. We had to discipline ourselves. The third obstacle was the worst. When that alarm clock went off in the morning, all I wanted to do was take a sledgehammer and just go, pow, you know, just blow it to smithereens. But no, we had to get up, and we had to work things out, whether it's coffee or whatever it takes, to get out of bed and go to the gym. It takes discipline, folks. I'm telling you, anybody else here in the same situation, it's not a good feeling knowing that I'm going to go into that place.
It takes discipline.
It's going to be painful. Now, why do I share this with you? When it comes to discipleship, there are many obstacles. To overcome these obstacles, you also need discipline. It's not going to be given to you. God doesn't say, get saved, and next thing you know, man, just like this, you're living the Christian life. There are disciplines that you have to observe. And here's the key point, if you can walk away with this. Without discipline, there is no discipleship. Discipline helps us get to where we need to be. It's not the end. This morning, I'm going to share with you 5 disciplines. They're not the end. They're simply a means to the end. Don't miss that. They're simply a means to the end. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to Matthew 28. You should have this passage memorized. This is the Great Commission, the final command that Jesus gave before he ascended to his disciples. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you." Now, here's the question to you before we get going. The question is this: what obstacles are keeping you from being the disciple that God has called you to be, that you need to overcome? When it comes to the Christian life, are you disciplined? We are disciplined with our business, we're disciplined with our health, we're disciplined in our how we keep our home, but when it comes to discipleship, we don't have discipline. Are you a disciple? If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you might be a great person, a wonderful person, but you're not a disciple. There needs to be a point where you ask Jesus to save you. Do that today. Now, as you know, we created this acronym as the goal of discipleship. Acronym is WATER, W-A-T-E-R, where each letter stands for a facet of discipleship. W is witnesses, A is accountability, T is togetherness, E is established in the Word, and R is reproducing more disciples. When they work in tandem, when they work together, discipleship happens. Unfortunately, it is not that easy for them to work together. There are obstacles. Just like working out, there are obstacles. So also with discipleship, there are obstacles. And we need to overcome them by being disciplined. I'm going to suggest to you five disciplines that help us become disciples. Starting with the first one, which is the discipline of evangelism. What does that mean? When it comes to being a witness, it is not natural that you will start witnessing. People think that, I got saved, next thing you know, man, I'm telling people about Jesus. Some people do. Most of us don't. But listen to what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. What Jesus was saying is this. You saw everything. You saw how I suffered. You saw how I died. You saw how I was buried and I rose again. Now go tell the world what you have seen. You shall be. It's a command. Now, you and I were not there 2,000 years ago. We were not eyewitnesses to the events. But we are eyewitnesses, listen carefully, we are eyewitnesses to the impact of those events in our lives today. We were not eyewitnesses to what happened 2,000 years ago. That's impossible. But we are eyewitnesses to what those events have done in my life and your life. What does the impact look like? It's three parts. What was your life before you met Jesus? How did you meet Jesus? How did he save you? And number three is, how is your life since you met Jesus? That's it. It's called a testimony. Now, what do you do with this? You are to be a witness to others. You are to tell other people what you have seen. Who were you before? How did Jesus save you? And who are you since you met Jesus? Now, most people do not witness. Most Christians do not witness. They don't witness for many reasons. Some are very busy. I got so much on my plate. So many things to do. Take care of the business, or the kids, or health, or the house, or the family. So many things to do. Some people are scared. Man, I don't want to talk to people about their spiritual life or their religion, because that's a very touchy subject. Some people don't witness because, they just feel like there are other ways that people get to heaven. Now, I want you to hear me carefully. That's the one I dislike the most. If there was another way that people could get to God, Jesus didn't have to die. So when people say, it's not really the only way, truth, and life, there are other ways, listen, that is just not true. Some people don't witness because it hasn't worked for you. In the past, you tried and it did not happen. I want you to hear what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, if I never won souls, I would sigh till I did. I would break my heart over them if I could not break their hearts. That's my prayer every day. God, break my heart for lost souls. Though I understand the possibility of an earnest sower never reaping, I cannot understand the possibility of an earnest sower being content not to reap. It means this, folks. Evangelism is a discipline. I struggle with this the most. Because I'm always doing ministry. I'm always talking to Christians. I'm always preaching. I'm always ministering. And it's very hard for me to say, wait a minute, did I today talk to anybody about Jesus Christ? And talking to people about Jesus Christ does not mean you get in their face and say, hey, if you die today, where would you go? No, that's not what I mean. Can you not build a bridge? Can you not try to find a way to connect with them? You see them suffering? Try this. Tell them, I'll pray. I'll keep you in prayer. I'm not going to mention that to anybody. I'll keep you in prayer. Folks, right there, that person, the door is open. And maybe the Holy Spirit will say, keep going. Or he will say, wait for another time. But on a daily basis, I remember this missionary I was just 5 to 7 years of age. His name was Ray Eichard. He died a couple of years ago. And this missionary, every day, he was an American missionary, every day he would get up and go with his tracts and share the gospel with people. He had memorized just enough of every language in India. Now keep in mind, India has many languages. He had memorized just enough in every language in India to have a conversation with any person. Now, if you go beyond that, he couldn't talk to you. But he knew enough to tell you about Jesus Christ and what it means to be saved. It was a discipline. Witnessing is a discipline. Here's number two. There's a discipline of confession. When it comes to accountability, you need to discipline yourself to confess your trespasses one to another. Now, listen to what James said in James chapter 5:16. By the way, this was the book that we went through on our staff retreat. Last week, many of y'all saw that we were on a retreat chasing seagulls and stuff like that. But anyways, we went through the entire book. Every person on the staff took a section, a chapter, and we went through the book. My section was the opening and the closing. The closing is this: confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, we often think, I need to confess my sins to God. That's not what he says here. Confess your trespasses to one another. Now, let me caution you. When it comes to confessing your trespasses to one another, it doesn't mean that you get into all the gory details about the fight you had with your wife or your husband the last night. That's not confession. You're giving people gossip material. Don't do that. Please, for goodness sakes, don't be fools. Don't share private information with other people. You say, oh, I trust. No, you don't know them. But you can definitely have men, have 3 to 5 men in your life. Women, have 3 to 5 ladies in your life that you can say, hey, can you pray for me? Can you keep me in prayer? It's just been a tough time. We just have a rough day. And these men and women are godly, mature, trustworthy, that they will not betray you. I call them my 2 a.m. friends. I have men in my life that 2 a.m., unless their phone is off, they're going to answer and they'll come looking for me. There's a discipline of confession. And to make this happen, you have to set aside your pride and you have to ask God to send the right person and then stay with it. Every week, you have to sacrifice that time and say, I have to talk to my accountability group. There's a discipline of confession. But here's number three. There's a discipline of church attendance. You know, we're going through that acronym WATER. W is witnesses, discipline of evangelism. A is accountability, discipline of confession. T is togetherness, discipline of weekly church attendance. Now, listen to Luke chapter 4:16. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Jesus came to his hometown. Say with me the next few words. Can you see the screen? Are you ready? And as his custom was. Jesus had a tradition, had a habit of going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Did you know that? This is God, the one who made the heavens and the earth, the one in whose hand the entire universe is not even a tiny little speck. On Sabbath day, he got up and he went to the synagogue, as his custom was. And the early church kept the practice going, albeit they didn't go to church because there was no church. They went to different homes. And they didn't go on the Sabbath. They chose the Lord's Day, the Sunday, because Jesus rose from the grave on the Sunday. But it was their practice. Listen to this. In Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Jesus' custom was to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath and read the word. The disciples' tradition was to go to what was church at the time on the Sunday and hear the word of God and fellowship with each other and praise God. Folks, you need that discipline in your life. Now, let me go ahead and explain. Yes, it is hard sometimes to do that if you're sick. In fact, I tell you, if you are contagious, please do not come to Clearview. Stay home, work it out, drink plenty of fluids, take medicine. You don't have to come to church. If you are traveling, please don't think you gotta, feel guilty. In fact, many people come to me almost with guilt and say, "So sorry, we're gonna be on vacation." I'm like, "Why are you sorry? Please go on vacation. It's a good thing. Go get rejuvenated. Go relax yourself. Put everything aside and go have a good time." Nothing wrong with spending time with family and getting away. Some people think, it is so hard to do that. But what I'm talking about here is when you are perfectly fine, things are going well. "I just don't feel like going to church today. We're just going to have church right here. We're just going to be, it's a family thing. We had a huge breakfast, and we sat together, and we watched you on Facebook." So it's like, okay, what do I say now? Now listen, folks, we put it on Facebook, Periscope, occasionally for you to be able to be home and do what you need to do. But don't make it a regular habit where you say, "I'm just going to stay home. This is good." Listen, don't miss this. There's something about coming to a local church and hearing the Word of God preached. There's something about it. It's the mystery of God that a man standing here from the Word of God preaches. He may not be the greatest preacher in the world, but he is preaching the truth. It does something for you. It changes your mind. It changes your heart. It does something. It helps you be the husband, the father, the person you've called to be. And then worshiping. It may not be your style of music. You may not know the words. But to come and to worship together and say, "God, you are great and greatly to be praised," it does something to you. Fellowshipping. To have people shake your hand. "Welcome, it's good to see you this morning." Now, it may not be, if you condense it down, no more than 30 seconds of conversation, but it's fellowshipping. This is how God intended for us to do it. Daily, weekly attendance. If things are fine, you should not be skipping church. "Oh, our kids didn't want to go. My friends are not there. They're not going to be there." Shut up and get in the car. Our four kids, I know some of y'all got offended. "Oh, you just shut up." Word. They're worst words in the world, folks. Here's the thing. Y'all making me laugh. There is no option for them. And our kids are great. I mean, they already did get here before I do. Folks, in the early church, listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." Don't stop attending church. Don't just drop your kids off and say, "We'll see you later." Oh, you're pretty much negating what you're teaching them by leaving. Make it a discipline to attend church on a regular basis for the word, for the worship, for the fellowship. Here's number four, the discipline of daily Bible intake. When it comes to being established in the word, you need daily Bible intake. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." If you abide means this: you have to read the word or hear the word, and you have to remain in the word. Then you prove that you are a disciple of Jesus. And then he said it again in John chapter 15, verse 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. Here's the point I'm making today. The Bible is the Word of God. Not just the four Gospels, the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the Word of God. You need to make it a practice every day to read the Bible. Even if it is for 5 minutes, just do it. I can tell you, I'm your pastor, I know theology, I've been studying theology for almost 25 years. I am a better person when I have my quiet time. When I read the Bible and I pray, even if it's only 5 minutes, some days I'm doing it for an hour. Other days, a lot to do, appointments waiting for me, 5 minutes. I am a better husband, I'm a better father, I'm a better pastor, I'm a better neighbor, because I feed on the Bible. D.L. Moody said this. It's a very good illustration. He said, a man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough for the next 6 months. Imagine this, if today you had your last meal. Can you survive 6 months? No. Like that commercial, you are not you when you're hungry. No wonder couples fight all the time. He said, well, I read my Bible today, but we still fought like cats. And oh, well, wait a minute. Just because you had one meal in 6 months, you think that's going to sustain you? Daily Bible intake. Read the Word of God. Pray. It makes you more like Christ. He said something else. I love this. He said, or take sufficient air into his lungs at one time to sustain life for a week. Imagine this is your last breath for the next 6 days. You can't. Folks, listen. Are y'all awake? If you make decisions and say things and do things, but on a daily basis you're not reading the Word of God, I can guarantee you 100% you're making the wrong decisions and saying the wrong stuff. But I had to say it. You don't know how he talked. You don't know what he said to me. You don't know what she... I had to. Well, if you are not on a daily basis reading the Bible, what's coming out of your mouth, you cannot trust. How many of y'all have done and said things because lunch hour went from 12 to 1 to 2 because too much had to be done, and someone came in the room and you let them have it. And then later on you have to go and say, I'm so sorry. I was just not feeling well. What you're really saying is, I was hungry. So also when it comes to the Bible, if you're not feeding on this book, you're hungry, and you bite off someone's head. I believe 95% of arguments in homes can be done away with if people had daily Bible reading. There are other problems too, but I don't want to get into that right now. A Chinese Christian used to say it like this, no Bible, no breakfast. How about no Bible, no coffee? I'll take that back. Have coffee. And then do your Bible, all right? But no breakfast until you have read the Word of God. So, the discipline of daily Bible intake. And the last one is here. The discipline of discipling. What did Jesus say? He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Which means this, if I am a disciple of Jesus, I need to be discipling someone. It is the ultimate test of discipleship that I am helping someone walk with God. Can I ask you this morning, I love you all. I love you. You are a wonderful person. You do a lot of things in church. You're great. Who are you discipling right now? Who are you discipling? If you're a family person, husband, wife, doesn't matter, father, mother, the first place is your own family. You should be discipling them. Disciple your children. My primary responsibility is not to disciple the church. My primary responsibility is to disciple my children. My two girls are standing on their own two feet, so in a different sort of way, I'm still discipling them, but the two boys, the two knuckleheads, I still have to work with them. And here's the good part. They're great kids, by the way. There are men in this church who are helping me disciple my boys. You don't realize that. I had a gentleman in our church out there spending time playing basketball with my boys. I just happened to drive up, and he was sitting there talking to them. I was so touched. I said, thank you. Thank you for taking that time to talk to them. It's called discipling. It's called helping them become like Christ. Is the ultimate test of discipleship. And for this to happen, the discipline of discipleship or discipling to happen, you have to remove yourself from the center of your life. If it's all about you, my growth, my walk, how I feel, you will not disciple other people. You have to set yourself aside and say, okay, God, who are the people in my life that I need to disciple? Who is it that I need to help them walk with Christ? Let me close with this. I would not be here today if someone hadn't discipled me. I would not be here. Now, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad is still pastoring. He preached this morning. But when I came here, I began to drift away from God. And I was beginning to come back to God, but I was very distrustful of the church and church leaders because I had seen hypocrisy. I'm telling you, young people see hypocrisy, it turns them off. It did me. Then I met Nicole. And then I met Nicole's dad, my wife's dad. We were not dating at the time. But when he realized that I was serious, he began to disciple me. And he didn't come to me and say, okay, from here on, I shall disciple you. He just, very simple, hey, you want to go play some golf? I'm going to go in town. You want to just come with me? And when I told him I'm going to the ministry after we got married, he began to take me on visitations. He began to talk to me. Folks, I had only 4 years with him. 1994 to 1998, he died with cancer. But in just those 4 years, that man helped me become the person I am today. Changed my life forever. I would not be standing here today if it wasn't for Nicole's dad. I tell her all the time, I fell in love with your dad before I fell in love with you. Love that man. He discipled me without even telling me, changed me forever. Here's a question, it's a tough question. God forbid something were to happen to you right now, just like this, you were to die. Who would be affected by your death? You say, oh, my family, my friends, my children, my grandchildren, my parents. No, no, no. What I'm asking you is this. Who will say, God, this person used to disciple me, but he is gone. She's gone. Who's going to disciple me? If your answer was no one, you know what you need to do. Right where you are, there are people that God is sending your way. You need to disciple them.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message. It's only by allowing Christ to develop within us the disciplines of evangelism, confession, church attendance, daily Bible intake, and discipling that we can hope to overcome the obstacles to spiritual growth. Pray and ask God to help you be a better disciple as you go out and disciple others. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.